When Dr. Philip Glick gathers for early morning grand rounds Thursday, he'll be engaging with UB medical students, residents, faculty, and practicing physicians, but they won't be reviewing the particular ailments of a current patient or the latest health science research. Instead, they will examine the Affordable Care Act, and as Dr. Glick sees it, the approaching changes will have a major impact on patients and on doctors.
The fact that between 30 and 60 million new patients are going to have access to the healthcare system with insurance cards. So instead of people who right now might be underinsured or uninsured delaying care and coming to emergency rooms when they get sick, hopefully many of these people will come for either preventative care or care to primary care settings where they can either intervene before there are problems or intervene at a much different level of care, same level of care, but cheaper. I mean, it's much easier for someone with the flu to come to a doctor's office than it is to go to an emergency room.
Serving as vice chair of surgery and professor of surgery, pediatrics, and gynecology obstetrics at the University of Buffalo School of Medicine and Biomedical Services, Dr. Glick foresees a changing landscape for his current group of med students. Their choices, he says, need to be informed by the details of President Obama's health care plan.
Part of the Affordable Care Act has some incentives for sending primary care doctors and some specialists to areas of need. For instance, there's money in the Affordable Care Act to help the Native American Indians. There's money in the Affordable Care Act to help some underserved urban areas. There's money in the Affordable Care Act to send doctors to rural areas. It's really hard to get doctors to go to rural areas. These incentives are financial. You know, the average student, when they finish college and medical school, has tens of thousands, if not over $100,000 of debt. Sometimes they're a little short-sighted in picking their specialty, thinking that they will be able to pay off their debt sooner than if they go into primary care or, say, general surgery. The problem is if you choose something based on reimbursement and not on what your passion is, the thing that we went to medical school to be compassionate and care for patients, it just becomes a job, and that's wrong. And then, you know, it's too late.
Recently added to the board of the Western New York Public Broadcasting Association, the board which oversees WBFO, Dr. Glick also has an MBA and holds a faculty appointment at the UB School of Management, offering a unique perspective into the complex financial realities of the medical field.
As a young doctor, I went to college and medical school and then to residency and then started working. I could barely balance a checkbook. But it became very clear to me as you start to traverse the medical industrial complex that businesses, you have to interface with that on a regular basis, whether it be with the insurance companies or with the hospitals. Within 10 years of my career, I went and got this MBA, which has been sort of life-changing for me.
And while Dr. Glick doesn't expect most medical students to seek MBAs for themselves, he sees financial literacy as a critical tool for anybody pursuing a career in dentistry, pharmacy, nursing, or medicine. Thursday morning's grand rounds start at 6:45, and while attendance is not open to the public, a Twitter thread can be followed at UB Surgery. Twitter is nothing new to Dr. Glick's teachings. He encourages others in his profession to share their expertise by utilizing what he sees as the profound potential of social media.
This patient developed a very unusual complication that in my 24 years of experience I'd never seen before. And it was 4 in the morning, and I was in the hospital and made some decisions, but wasn't quite sure what was wrong with this patient. And I sent out a tweet at about 4:30 in the morning, just before the sun was coming up, and went and took a nap. And when I woke up at 11 o'clock, a colleague from the Karolinska Institute in Sweden that I didn't know said that he had had 6 patients with this identical problem that he hadn't yet published and told me what he thought the proper management in natural history was, and he was absolutely right. And so it allowed us to, without guessing, make some decisions based on data that we accumulated from social media. That made me a total convert about 18 months ago. And now I use social media on a daily basis.
I think after everyone hears that story, they all might become converts.
Well, you know, people say it's a waste of time, and I just disagree. It's a waste of time if you're sharing mundane things with people, but
hey,
if you're looking for high-level information, I think it's a great thing.
Dr. Philip Glick is Vice Chair of Surgery and Professor of Surgery, Pediatrics, and Gynecology Obstetrics at the University of Buffalo School of Medicine and Biomedical Sciences. Once again, you can learn more about the impending impact of the Affordable Care Act by following Thursday's Grand Rounds on Twitter at UB Surgery. For WBFO News, I'm Jay Moran.